the collision.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash. Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW, Washington, D.C.
To the nation on Capitol Hill and everywhere. Go tell it to the nation. We all deserve health care. The greedy corporations determine who survive. Can we give just the wealthy the right to stay alive? Go tell it to the nation on Capitol Hill and everywhere. Go tell it to the nation. We all deserve health care. In hospitals and clinics, the poor are turned away. The system won't provide for the ones who cannot pay. Go tell it to the nation on Capitol Hill and everywhere. Go tell it to the nation. We all deserve health care.
And welcome to Heal DC. This is Joni Eisenberg. It is August 12th, 2024, and this is our first Monday in our summer pledge drive. We are talking, as we've had for many decades, about the need for true national health care in this country and the forces that are trying to block that. We have a health care hero on with us for the hour, who I'm going to introduce in a moment, Dr. Edwin Chapman. And he'll be talking about the recent National Medical Association convention, where they talked about the corporatization of healthcare. Later in the show, we'll be joined with health activists with organizing for a union at local clinics, Unity Healthcare, and much more. But we want to remind you that today is our first Monday on the pledge drive. I don't know if Katia is there to join me yet, but we have a goal this morning on this show of $800. And we can only do that with your support and your help. You can be the first to jump on and make a pledge, 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. Or you can pledge online on our website, wpfwfm.org. You can scroll to make a pledge to Heal DC. But we're all in the same family, so wherever it goes winds up in the same pocketbook, as we need your support. You can also do a Cash App, and somebody will tell me later what our new Cash App is. But right now, we look forward to your support. As you know, we cannot do this without you. We are basically all volunteers. I've been volunteering for over 30 years. And mostly everyone on air are volunteers, and we come to you in support of the community. So with that, I am happy to introduce our guest for the hour, Dr. Edwin Chapman, who has practiced medicine in D.C. for over 40 years. He specializes in internal medicine and addiction medicine, and he is basically a hero in the area of addiction medicine and more. For the past 20 years, he's been investigating the complex mix of addiction, untreated mental illness, infectious disease, chronic diseases, and criminal behavior, and in which patients have 20 to 25 years shorter lifespan. And Dr. Chapman has indeed been investigating that. He's a graduate of Howard University College of Medicine. He completed an internship and residency with a fellowship in cardiology from the historic Freedman's Hospital and Howard University Hospital. And I must say, he is an activist doctor committed to the people. He is takes off from our own Dr. Jesse Barber, who helped to found this program many decades ago with us back in the 90s, who's a hero in healthcare. Dr. Chapman is very much like Dr. Barber in that he's committed to the people. He's also a member of the WPFW family, often heard not only on this show, but on Ambrose's Lane Show, Mondays at 5, and Roach's show, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. So we're going to be hearing from Dr. Chapman first, and then later in the hour, we're going to be hearing an update of what's going on in D.C. Regarding corporatization of healthcare with the Unity Clinics. But I'm very pleased and happy to welcome. Good morning, Dr. Chapman.
Hey, Joni, we're still trying to get him to connect to his audio. I'll let you know when.
Okay, he has a lot to say. Some of you may be aware of the National Medical Association, which was founded, I believe, in the late 1800s. And you can perhaps guess why, because black physicians were not allowed to join the white American Medical Association. The NMA has a very historic, has played a very historic role, which changes from time to time, but it is really back in the driver's seat with playing a leading role in what's going on with the increasing corporatization of healthcare. And Dr. Chapman just participated last weekend in the NMA's annual convention in New York City, and he was very pleased that the focus was really an in-depth look at the privatization, the increasing corporatization of healthcare. This, of course, is not new, but it continues each year to get worse. And we've talked, we've had many shows talking about Medicare Advantage, which, of course, we call Medicare Disadvantage. It is, I hate to say it, it's helping to, it has the potential for destroying the true Medicare program, which was passed thanks in part to mobilizing from the civil rights communities, black physicians and more. Medicare was passed. But the powers that be and the moneyed interests are doing everything they can to really severely weaken Medicare so that it is no longer what it was supposed to be. And I do hope that Dr. Chapman is going to join us. We've saved this time for him. Mike, perhaps you can call him on the phone if the Zoom is not working.
He's connected.
Okay, he's on. Dr. Chapman, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi. Morning.
Good morning. Glad to hear you. I was saying everything I was hoping you would say. I was sharing about your recent experience with the National Medical Association and the recent convention. Anything you want to add about the history of the NMA? I'm sure some listeners don't know about the NMA.
Yes, so the National Medical Association was organized before 1900, and for obvious reasons. Black physicians were not allowed to join the American Medical Association then. So it's the oldest African-American medical association in the world. And we just had a recent convention in New York City. And I had the privilege of attending the community health sessions, but also a plenary session that talked about what they described as big medicine, really talking about how corporate America has taken over healthcare.
And give us some examples. I know you were sharing with me the severe danger that this galloping corporatization is having on, of course, patients, but also on physicians. particularly black physicians, but all physicians.
Yeah. So back in about 1970, there was a move towards what were called HMOs, or health maintenance organizations. But corporate America realized how much money was involved in healthcare, and the fact that at that particular point in time, they had very little input in the direction of how this money was spent. So for the past 50 years or so, corporate America has spent an enormous amount of time inserting itself in the management of healthcare. Unfortunately, the outcomes have not improved. And it's because you have investors, hedge fund investors, et cetera, who are there simply to make money, not to provide services. And when those monies are extracted from the system, obviously somebody gets hurt. And it's generally, or not generally, but it's the folks on the front line who are actually doing the work. So we're seeing hospitals close. We're seeing medical practices close, community practices, and more and more the takeover of corporate America in terms of running healthcare. And it's, as I said, it's not necessarily driven by better health outcomes. And we're seeing it in our communities, that people are getting sicker without costs are going up. But services are going down.
Absolutely. And I must admit, I'm old enough to remember those early 1970s when President Nixon was in office, and I first read about what they were planning to do with these HMOs. And here we are 50 years later, and it's still a major threat to our right, what should be a right for healthcare in the United States. So give an example, Dr. Chapman, of how this particularly is impacting black physicians more and more, and what was said at the NMA convention about that.
Yeah. So one of the most astounding statements was made by one of three panelists at our plenary session, who mentioned the fact that 90 to 95% of African-American graduates from medical school will probably be looking for a job rather than opening an office. And that's in and of itself is earth-shaking. When I was in medical school, of course, we were looking for an opportunity to hang a shingle as a private practitioner in the community. But that's how drastically this whole corporatization of healthcare has changed things. So people are really bound to this system, and this system again is driven by profits and not productivity.
Absolutely, and unfortunately, it keeps getting worse and worse. I remember in the 90s when Medicaid, all of a sudden, they were busy privatizing Medicaid with these managed care organizations. And of course, I'm not sure if it's true. It's pretty much true across the country, definitely true in D.C., that most Medicaid patients are pushed or must go into a managed care organization, which is a for-profit entity. It's not a nonprofit as we used to have in the day. I'm not sure if they talk much about the impact on Medicaid programs at the NMA, but it's certainly a concern, as we'll hear a little later in the show.
Yeah, so certainly our patient population is disproportionately a Medicaid population or a Medicare-Medicaid population. And because of this structure, it becomes an easy target for corporate America to implement policies that they write that are not really regulated by the government. And that's the whole idea, is to create what's called regulatory capture, where the corporations write the rules for the government. And if you look at some of the studies that HHS Inspector General has recently put out, they show that, for instance, in 37, they studied 37 states, and out of those 37 states, 25, including the District of Columbia government, have no regulatory oversight over the Medicaid Managed Care Organization. They simply come in, present their program, and claim that whatever the outcomes are, poor outcomes that are presented are not their fault, that they're basically the fault of the patients not taking advantage of the services. But I think as we dig deeper, we can see that, again, in many instances, we don't have the networks of providers that are needed, and those networks of providers are not generally geographically available or spread out in the community so that patients can access services. So it's really a catch-22 that the corporations have pretty much bought off the politicians to look the other way. And so we're really going to have to fight as professionals from the bottom up. And I think that's why we're seeing some of the movement, particularly here locally, with providers now unionizing because they want to do a good job, but they also want to have fair working conditions.
Absolutely. And we'll hear from them in a little bit. But Dr. Chapman, I don't know if you know, I used to know how much many millions of dollars these for-profit managed care organizations in D.C. are making. How much profit are they raking in? And you're saying that I used to think that the Medicaid agency had some oversight over these for-profit agencies, but you're saying they don't. Do you know off the top of your head how much profit they make off of low-income people from our tax dollars?
If you can imagine, the District of Columbia overall budget is now $20 billion. $5 billion is spent on healthcare. And most of those dollars are Medicaid dollars. So if you could imagine, close to $5 billion is spent every year on healthcare in the District of Columbia. Yet we have some of the worst outcomes for hypertension, diabetes. We were number two behind West Virginia in per capita overdose deaths due to opioids. Renal failure is at the District of Columbia is at the top of the list. And all of this is the result of patients not getting access to preventive health care. And so I think you can see how this picture is developing with physicians now pushing back and really talking about the complexity of the patients that they have to treat. But if you don't have a workforce comparable, able to deal with that, there's plenty of money in the system. But I think we'll see again that money is being sucked out of the system by these investors and by corporate operatives or the corporate generals in and of themselves. So you'll see people making big salaries to manage these managed care organizations, but not the outcomes on the front end.
Oh, and this is of course infuriating that the District of Columbia, as you just said, is raking in or spending $5 billion for Medicaid low income patients, and yet we continue to have some of the worst health outcomes in the nation. We need to continue to build a movement. You know, unfortunately, many of us have been talking about this for decades. We started the show in 1992 with Dr. Jesse Barber and Michelle, but it continues to get worse. And we know what we have to do, folks. We have to continue to build a movement. We are in the first Monday of our summer pledge drive. I don't know if Katia is with me. I'm not on Zoom. I can't see who's there, but we have to we're asking people to make a pledge to this show. And if Katia's not there, Mike, maybe you can tell us if we've had any pledges.
Joni, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm right here with you. And good morning to you and your esteemed guest, Dr. Chapman. It's an honor to be on with you. And, you know, again, this is the information that To Heal DC and Joni Eisenberg has brought to the listeners all of these decades. And we so appreciate her contributions on and off the air to ensuring that public health is truly for the public, for the people. And today's show is no exception. So we ask you to go to the phone right now and pledge your support. The number to call is 800-222-9739. We have a goal now of $700, Joni, because from Thomas and Hisani say, keep up the great work. So they made a contribution and they made it online at WPFWFM.org. You can do the same. So we are in need of $700 for this hour now. And we ask you to go to the phones and make that call that makes the difference. Joni, you were right. We have a brand new Cash App. It's $WPFWFM. That's $WPFWFM. So if you have your phone handy, and we all know the Cash App is just too easy, really, to use these apps to send money. Cash App is no exception, but you'll be doing something great for yourself and something wonderful for your community when you use it to donate to WPFW. So again, we ask you to go to the phones, make that call that makes the difference, support that which supports you. And Joni does that week in, week out, 800-222-9739. Or you can go online to WPFWFM.org. Joni?
And Katia, when you use the Cash App, I think it's good to put down maybe the donor's name and the show that they're donating to. Is that
absolutely
right?
Yep, you should put that in the notes section. That's absolutely right, Joni. That way we can credit To Heal DC, and we will know who has made the donation, because sometimes only the email address comes up. So if you just include your full name, and that way we'll be able to communicate with you. And again, most importantly, To Heal DC and Joni Eisenberg will get the credit there. Again, if you want to use the phone number, that's 800-222-9739. And you can go online as well to WPFWFM.org to make your generous pledge of support. Think about becoming a sustaining member this morning. Yes. There's someone out there, Joni, as you know, that can do that and take care of the entire 700 with a sustaining pledge. You can do that in the amount of as low as $10 a month, $20, $50, $100, whatever suits your budget. We also say many hands make light work. So consider making a donation of $5, $10, $15, $100, $200, $1,000. Again, whatever suits your budget. And Joni, just like public health, we remind folks that there are those in our community that vitally need the information that WPFW can provide, but they don't have the means to support financially right now. So when you make a pledge of support, when you're in a privileged position to actually be able to make a financial contribution, you are not only doing that for yourself, you're doing that for those who cannot make a contribution right now, but rely on the information that WPFW provides.
Yes, and Katia, as you and I both know, and many listeners know, this country is spending countless billions of dollars, I hate to say it, to kill people. So we're not asking, we're asking you to help us all keep people alive and healthy. And we need your money to do that, because unfortunately, this government of ours is not doing that at all. They're using our money to kill people. It's not
exactly
funny, but it's all the world. And you know, we're thankful for Democracy Now and this station, which gives us the horrific news every morning. But we want to try to take some steps forward in saving lives. And we do that on this station. So again, Katia will come back in about 15 minutes or so to ask for your help again. I want to especially thank Thomas Blanton and Hassani. Hassani was part of our original team of To Heal DC with Dr. Jessie Barber many decades ago. So she's been with us all along. So Katia, now we're going to move when Dr. Chapman will remain with us through the hour. Again, this is an hour where we're focusing on the corporatization, ongoing corporatization of healthcare, and we're spending the next segment talking with two activists who are very much involved with what's going on in Washington, D.C. We're glad to have Carrie Lane, who's been on with us before. Carrie is the Northeast Regional Director of the Union of American Physicians and Dentists, the union that represents the largest number of medical providers, particularly physicians. And he is definitely an organizer committed to the people. We're also thrilled that we could have on one of the physicians involved with Unity Healthcare's struggle, and we're going to hear about that from Kate Sugarman. Dr. Sugarman is a family physician. She graduated in 1991 from Montefiore Hospital in my hometown, New York City, focusing in social medicine. And Dr. Jessie Barber was one of the founders of that field of social medicine. Kate Sugarman is an activist with the union of that we just mentioned, Union of American Physicians and Dentists, and much more. And we're going to hopefully have a few minutes to hear about some of the other things that Dr. Sugarman is involved with, separate from organizing around what's happening at Unity. She currently practices at Upper Cardozo, and we look forward to hearing from her. So welcome, Carrie Lane and Dr. Sugarman. You both there with us?
Yes, I'm here, and I'm ready to speak whenever people want me to speak.
Okay, Dr. Sugarman, why don't we start briefly with you, and then we'll jump to Carrie. Tell us, what is Unity Healthcare, and a little bit about its history and who you serve, and then, of course, we'll jump into the crisis that's undergoing now. But first, tell people what Unity Healthcare is.
Okay, so Unity Healthcare is, technical term is called an FQHC, Federally Qualified Health Center. So we get support from the federal government, of course, from the DC government. Also, our mission is to provide compassionate medical care for the low-income, the vulnerable patients of DC. We also have the mandate to provide medical care for unhoused people. So there are street outreach teams, and also in providing care in the homeless shelters for DC. My understanding is that many decades ago, the DC government was providing primary health care to or had the mandate to provide primary health care to unhoused people in DC, and the Unity government outsourced the provision of primary health care to Unity Healthcare. So Unity has the obligation to provide health care to DC's poor. I believe that Unity serves about 80 to 90,000 patients within the district. Another way of looking at that is that 1 out of 8 people in DC get their health care through Unity Healthcare. They also provide the health care for the DOC, the jails, the Department of Correction. And can I jump in now to the current crisis? Would this be a good time?
Yes. So just mention, and Carrie, maybe you could mention this, where are these clinics? I know they're all throughout the city, including Ward 7, Ward 8, Ward 5. And, of course, Upper Cardoza is there in Ward 1. So, again, it serves a great span of the city and the people who are really in need of health care. So, yes, Kate, jump in and share the crisis that is currently going on at Unity.
Okay, I'm going to just start from the kind of like a, give a little bit of background. So I want you to think back to being home during the lockdown in March, about March of 2020. The clinic, you know, everybody was told to stay home. So at first there were very few patients. The clinic looked empty, but we were working. We had swiftly transitioned to telemedicine. And then the patients with COVID started pouring in. So we had, you know, tents outside. Hot weather, cold weather, rainy weather. We were testing people, putting our own health at risk, you know, in the jumping right into the COVID crisis. How were we thanked for putting our health in jeopardy, for working so hard, both remotely and in person? How were we thanked? The corporate management told us that we had to dramatically increase the number of patients we were seeing, dramatically increase the number of patients, even though we were working to the bone. As a result, we unionized. We had a union vote, and with UAPD, we won by an overwhelming majority, and management just continues to retaliate. So due to all the really unfair working conditions, there has been a hemorrhage. There has been an exodus of doctors and medical providers to the point now where, you know, a lot of the clinics are empty. Upper Cardozo is a four-story clinic in the heart of Columbia Heights. We have, you know, vulnerable patients, low-income patients, immigrant patients, and the building is empty. It looks like a ghost town. Providers and doctors keep leaving, and management even admitted that they cannot replace the providers who leave because we pay under market. We are underpaying, you know, the providers, expecting them to see an unfair number of patients, and the building is empty. And patients keep asking me, will you be my primary care doctor? Their doctors leave. We had a doctor leave last month. She had been with us for 24 years. Who is going to see her patients that she was seeing for 24 years? People ask me, will you be my primary care doctor? What can I say? I can't say no to somebody, but that means that I won't have room to see my own patients. My own panel is already overly filled. My only conclusion is that the corporate management wants us to close. I don't know what else to think. Patients are told the only way they can get an appointment, you know, come at 7 a.m., wait in line. People come as early as 6:30 or earlier. And by 8 a.m., all the slots are filled. We frequently get emails that there's a clinic that has no doctor for the day. Who can fill those slots? And management, they think they're solving the problem by hiring temps. So they go to temp agencies in an attempt to get temporary doctors, but then patients no longer have continuity of care. They no longer have a doctor who knows them, who knows their history, who they've developed a relationship with. So we are in severe crisis. And where is the DC City Council? They know about this crisis. Where are they? Why are they not pressuring Unity? Why is this corporate management allowed to drive the clinic over a cliff?
And of course, many of us remember what leadership in the city did to help shut down DC General. We remember that. So this is kind of a, unfortunately, this is not new, but it remains frightening. And Carrie, I heard that two physicians, I don't know if this is official yet, but recently quit at the Anacostia Clinic. Do you have anything to add about the situation, particularly with some of the East of the River clinics and Ward 5, Ward 7, and 8, what's happening there? Or anything you'd like to say, Carrie?
Yeah, of course. You know, I think just to pull back a little bit, I think the fact that the Unity providers had to organize and unionize in the first place tells you how bad the situation is. And, you know, instead of using this as an opportunity to improve, Unity has hired a union busting law firm, an expensive elite union busting law firm Littler Mendelsohn, who represents corporations like Starbucks. They're paying them from the balance sheet, which is seeded with taxpayer money, which itself is ethically questionable. And what we're seeing is at the bargaining table, as you know, we're trying to get these guys a fair, dignified workplace here so they can do what they do best, which is provide a quality care to underserved patients. And what we've been running into at the bargaining table is gaslighting and bait and switch tactics and delays and withholding of documents that we have access, that we have legal access to. They'll offer an improvement one bargaining session and then pull back that improvement the next bargaining session. So not bargaining in good faith. And so we're at a point where strike authorization is a possible step. We, as Kate mentioned, we need the support of the community and to keep pressure on our elected officials to help us with this. And to your question, Joni, you know, we're up to 28 full-time providers who have resigned in the last 6 months. And most of those have not been replaced, as Dr. Sugarman mentioned. And, you know, we're starting to see this, and the fact that these providers are not being replaced, we're starting to see this ineptitude by Unity leadership. It's starting to show in their finances. And from what finances we have, Unity is now operating at an operational deficit. And of course they are, because when you're not seeing patients, and when 28 providers quit and you can't see patients, you can't bill insurance. So what we're seeing is in the Unity finances, although they have a base of their balance sheet is healthy from prior years, they're operating at a deficit now because all of these providers have quit and they have not been replaced. So it's like what Dr. Chapman was saying earlier. We're seeing more consultants, more leaders with MBAs and law degrees leading Washington, D.C.'s FQHCs. Unity CEO has a consulting background with McKinsey. Whitman Walker is run by a lawyer. Why are lawyers and consultants running healthcare organizations that serve underserved patients with federal monies? And I think what we're seeing is it's all coming to bear.
Yes. And do you or Dr. Sugarman have any idea of how much money Unity is spending on its top executives and also on these union buster firms? It's obviously a lot.
Well, you know, certainly tens of thousands for Littler Mendelsohn, and over the course of, say, a year of bargaining, that would probably reach into six figures easily. What was your second question about finances, Joni?
Well, that was it. You know, how much are they paying to pay?
The salaries of the CEOs. Last we heard about the salary, Dr. Boyd, the CEO of Unity, she was making $450,000 a year, but I think that was 2 years ago. So I think we can safely assume that she's making more than $500,000 a year.
The doctors are making peanuts compared to what doctors usually make. It's just really horrifying. And one question I have, I don't know if either of you can answer this or if Dr. Chapman can, but my understanding of the managed care organizations is that often a Unity patient has to be also signed up with a managed care organization, which is bringing in, as we mentioned, lots of money. So I don't know, Dr. Sugarman, do you interact also with the managed care organizations at Unity, or is that?
Not too much. I don't feel able to answer that question.
So again, this is another basic question which we should all know the answer to. But again, district residents are paying from tax dollars to support these healthcare programs, and yet it is going down and down and down. We only have a minute left right now, unless you want to stay on a little longer past the break. But I also wanted to announce and share that Dr. Sugarman is not only a very dedicated family physician. She's also a dedicated activist, and we hope to have her on or record her on. She's very active, Jewish Voice for Peace, standing up against the genocide in Gaza. And just briefly, in a minute, Kate, could you share with the listeners what you have recently done in support of Cori Bush?
Yes, I spent two visits to St. Louis in the blistering heat, knocking on doors to keep Cori Bush in office. She was targeted by an AIPAC-funded smear campaign, and you know, she's not only a champion for peace in Gaza, she's also a climate champion. She has supported Climate Defiance, a group that my son started. She's just a champion for human rights, earth rights, peace. And I was knocking on doors up until election day in the blistering heat, getting people to go out and vote for her. But unfortunately, she lost, but she is not giving up. She is determined to take down AIPAC. We're all determined to take down AIPAC. I've been a longtime immigration rights activist, working with really thousands of asylum seekers, helping them in their asylum case. So we're keeping busy.
Yes, and just in a couple of seconds, I'm very proud to, or I want to share that you're also very active with Jewish Voice for Peace and others to stop this genocide. So we thank you for that, Kate. And again, if you can stay on, please do. Otherwise, we're going to, one way or another, have you back again. Of course, we're going to have carry on. We're going to take another what we call pitch break to encourage people to make.
Well, I'd like to donate right now. So can I, how do I donate so that it goes towards Heal DC? I have the website. What do I do?
Okay. Well, Joni, do you want me to jump in?
Yes.
And this way I can tell others how to do this. You can simply, Carrie, thank you, first of all. And those listening, if you want to make a donation like Carrie is doing right now, you can go to our website, WPFWFM.org. You can hit that red Donate Now button on the website. Then you'll see a drop-down menu. If To Heal DC is not already listed there, you choose To Heal DC, and then it takes you through the steps of how much, et cetera, and how you want to make your donation.
I'm going to donate right this minute. I'm walking to my computer.
Beautiful. Thank you, Carrie. And as Joni mentioned, we do want to encourage you to make a pledge of support. We have Carrie's donation coming in, but at this very moment, we need $700 still to make the goal for this hour. We have 18 minutes to do it, folks, and we can do this together. Never without you. You have sustained us for since 1977, going on I'm bad with the math, Joni. I want to say 43 years. I could be wrong with the math. But since 1977, we have been people powered. We have been upholding the vision of Lou Hill, who was a pacifist. We heard about what happened with Cori Bush and AIPAC. And Lou Hill believed another world was possible and that people would donate to a media outlet that reflected their values. And certainly our values are ones of justice, of equity, of course, of peace. But you cannot have peace without these other two being present. And so you understand that as a listener to WPFW and as a listener of To Heal DC. So please make that call that makes a difference right now for Joni Eisenberg. She does such fine work. Joni, you do incredible work. And we want to celebrate her, celebrate this show. It's our summer pledge drive, our second day. So let's, you know, go right in there and do the best that we can for Joni this morning. 800-222-9739, $700 to go. Think about that sustaining pledge. It's a great way to give monthly, and we love it because we can then forecast and plan. Because we know we have a certain amount coming in every month, and you just tell the phone representative that you want to set up a sustaining donation, and they'll do it for you quick and easy. You can also do that on the website at WPFWFM.org. Again, $700 to go between now and the top of the hour, 16 minutes to do it. Joni, I don't want to take up a lot of your time with the pledge, but we want to just make sure that people understand how important it is to support To Heal DC.
I can't get the I'm having trouble. Can you tell me the phone number one more time?
The number for all to call is 800-222-9739.
And I can donate by, I can tell, I can use that phone number to donate.
That's right. 800-222-9739. Absolutely, Carrie.
All right.
And
I'm
anyone
hang
else
up.
Listening?
I'm Kate. I'm Kate.
Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's okay. I'm going to disconnect now from Zoom, and I'm going to call that number right this minute.
And Kate, just make sure you say you're donating to Heal DC if you like to.
Yeah, yeah. I have it all written down. I wrote down the instructions. Dr. Yep. I'm going to call right this minute.
Okay. Terrific. Again, 800-222-9739. And Katia, one more time. For the Cash App.
Absolutely. That's $WPFWFM. It's a brand new Cash App. So if you have us already in your Rolodex and Cash App, as it were, you know, you can pull up places you've donated before. Please don't use the old one. Use this one. Replace it with $WPFWFM. Joni?
Absolutely. And again, folks, We need your support. If you are committed to creating a world, a country that doesn't spend billions, countless billions of dollars killing people, but we can live in a country that's committed to keeping people alive, then you need to support this radio station. Now, as we know, we're in a frightening time, frankly, and a donation of $15 a month. I don't know what that would come out to. You know, if you don't have a bunch of money in your bank account, you can do it, as Chuck Hicks used to call it, on layaway. And we give a shout out to Chuck Hicks, whose mom just passed and is always with us in spirit. You can make a pledge to any of us, but we really need this radio station to be strong right now. We're in a frightening time. So, thank you to Katia. Let's jump back in with Dr. Chapman. And again, you're listening to Heal DC. We're talking about the corporatization of healthcare, how the big guys, the money, big money people are making more and more and more money off of people being sick, and they're working to make sure that people, unfortunately, stay sick without the care that people need. We see an increase in this corporatization, as Dr. Chapman was just saying. He recently returned from the annual convention of the National Medical Association, where they are speaking out and going to be organizing intensely in the coming years to help stop this corporatization. And Dr. Chapman, we have some good news from the National Medical Association. Apparently, the next president is going to be someone from D.C., as you were sharing with me.
Yes. So our former chief medical examiner, Dr. Roger Mitchell, is the president-elect of the National Medical Association. He's currently one of the lead physicians at Howard University Hospital, and really involved in just about anything and everything in healthcare, including healthcare finance. So we're looking at a legacy that is pretty clear. The association with the National Medical Association, Howard University, the local chapter of the National Medical Association, MedChi of DC. Dr. Jesse Barber was president of both the National Medical Association at one point and the local chapter. If you can imagine the caliber of person that Dr. Barber was, this man was the first board certified African-American neurosurgeon in the country, but yet he was concerned about the homeless. You just can't put those two things together. And now when you draw a line to physicians like Dr. Sugarman, you can see the relationship and the dedication. There's a straight line relationship that has not changed in terms of providers, physicians wanting to provide the best services not necessarily as a money-making venture, which is what healthcare has turned into from these corporations. So that's the battle that we're fighting. We're really fighting for the legacy of persons like Dr. Jesse Barber, who taught generations of physicians. One of my classmates actually went into neurosurgery, and yes, others that I know. So that's what we're talking about.
Yes, and I hate to cut you off. And of course, Jesse Barber is the reason we're on the air. He urged us to start this radio show. But we also, I almost forgot, and it's very important, Carrie Lane is on with us to tell, share with the listeners about a very important gathering tomorrow. So we have about 1 or 2 minutes left, Carrie. Tell us what's going on tomorrow evening.
Yes, and I think to sort of bring all of these very, very important points together, we're gathering tomorrow evening for a healthcare solidarity event. In support of Unity healthcare providers, but in addition to healthcare in the DC community in general, and so we are gathering at Sud House DC from 5:30 to 9 p.m. tomorrow evening. Sud House DC, 1340 U Street Northwest. That's 1340 U Street Northwest, and there will be several. There'll be sister unions. There will be Unity providers. I'll be there with the Union of American Physicians and Dentists. And we're also going to have a lot of WPFW folks there. So to your listeners who've been listening to the station for years and years, this is a wonderful opportunity to actually meet people like Joni Eisenberg or Dr. Chapman and have a cocktail with them. And we can gather in solidarity because we do need community support to get legislation passed, to pressure our elected officials, to show support for not just the Unity providers, but other advocates in the district who are fighting for health equity and healthcare justice. So what better way to do that than a wine and cheese gathering at Sud House DC, 1340 U Street Northwest, tomorrow evening from 5:30 to 9 p.m.
Thank you very much, Carrie, and I hope to be there, although I'll be drinking a healthy drink, as Dr. Watkins would want me to. But we are very thankful for you, Carrie Lane, and for Kate Sugarman, and for Dr. Edwin Chapman, who, again, is a hero, the people's hero for healthcare here in the city, following the footsteps of our Dr. Jesse Barber. I hate to be discouraged that we haven't gotten more pledges. Again, folks, you know, I'm a volunteer, and everyone you hear is a volunteer, but we have paid staff, folks. We have a very, very small number of paid staff. I think it's 5 or 6 paid staff. We have a wonderful Magic Mike, who's our engineer. We have Katia Stitt. We have Miyuki. We have several other, Vinnie Jack, several other staff people. We need to be able to pay them. We need to be able to keep the lights on.
Joni, may I jump in? Because we're actually doing quite well. If I can just thank some folks. We want to say thank you to From the Culture Shack in support of our dear Joni. Thank you so much. Thank you to Anonymous out of Potomac, Maryland. Thank you for your generous pledge. And thank you to Vanessa Dixon out of Columbia, Maryland, a board member, putting her dollars where her heart is. Thank you so much, Vanessa. And we only need 300 more dollars, Joni. We can do this. We have 7 minutes. I know you have to sign off, but we have 7 minutes to go, folks. So even as Joni is saying her goodbyes and you're hearing the outro music,
and you know what?
Please.
You know what, Katia,
please.
I want to share with you that Vanessa Dixon, one of her biggest champions was none other than Damu Smith. And Vanessa was a leader in the fight to save DC General. And if I could just bring Damu onto the airwaves, which unfortunately I can't, he knew how to get you folks to go to the phone. So if you remember Damu Smith, and he would no holds barred, he would make sure that we would get that. How much do we need, Katia? $300.
Well, we only need $300, Joni. And I want to ask everyone, within the sound of our voices right now, please make that call right now that makes the difference so we can exceed this goal. We're so close. $300, 800-222-9739. Many of us remember Damu very fondly, and he was a strident
pitcher,
right, supporter of all who were suffering injustice and across every issue. So if you understand that is what WPFW is about, if you understand that To Heal DC is right in that flow, is part of that river of life, 800-222-9739, or you can go online to WPFWFM.org. Joni, I'm going to give it back to you because I know you have to move out the way for our next program. But again, yes, one more time, $300, 800-222-9739. I am confident we'll do this, Joni. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Katia, and thank you, listeners. Keep those calls coming. Make a pledge in honor of an ancestor, somebody in your family, somebody on PFW from the past, Gaston Neal, Nap Turner, A.C. Byrd, Askia Muhammad, Damu Smith, Dorothy Healy. Keep the spirit going and make sure that we can be strong. WPFW needs to be strong as we roll into this next period where we have many threats in this nation and around the world. So we need your support. We need WPFW to be able to strongly support Jazz and Justice Radio 24/7 and keep on rolling. Thank you, Magic Mike. Shout out again to Chuck Hicks. And thank you, Mari. And let's go out with that song. Thanks to Lucy Murphy. Go tell it to the nation about we need health care.
Go tell it to the nation on Capitol Hill and everywhere. Go tell it to the nation. We all deserve health care. The greedy corporations determine who survive. Can we give just the wealthy the right to stay alive? Go tell it to the nation on Capitol Hill and everywhere. Go tell it to the nation. We all deserve health care. In hospitals and clinics, the poor are turned away. The system won't provide for the ones who cannot pay. Go tell it to the nation on Capitol Hill and everywhere. Go tell it to the nation. We all deserve health care.
Oh, yeah. Hey, friends, we are back again. Mark your calendars. On Saturday, August the 24th, WPFW will host the 15th annual Blues Festival featuring Clarence the Blues Man Turner, Jim Bennett with Jesse Terrell, Stacy Brooks, Low Rent Quartet, Reggie Right Eye, and the Missing Pieces, all at Lamont's Entertainment Complex, 4400 Livingston Road in Indian Head, Maryland. Event time is from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. For more information, go to eventbrite.com and search WPFW. Why, you ask? Because WPFW is building a better world, one broadcast at a time. Believe that.
The 20th anniversary of DC Jazz Fest happens August 28th through September 1st, featuring performances by Samara Joy, Jacob Collier, Stanley Clark, Emmett Cohen, Ron Carter, Diane Reeves, and more. Details at dcjazzfest.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
WPFW is looking for volunteers to answer phones and enter donor information during our summer membership drive beginning August 11th through August 24th. Phone volunteering is a fun way of meeting new people and possibly your favorite programmers while also supporting the station. Need community service hours? Phone volunteering is the perfect solution. Contact us at volunteers@wpfw.org or leave a voice message at 202-588-0999, extension 1008.